Before I get started, let me kind of review what we talked about. It was 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4, and it talked about another. And it talked about another Jesus. Another spirit. And another gospel. And we talked about Jesus, another Jesus last week. And this week I want to talk about another gospel. Because that's something that really is a problem in America. Though he wrote this to Galatia, we need to read and heed, because it's really what America has become. You know, in today's vernacular, we might call this a fake Jesus, a fake gospel. You know, sort of like fake news. It's not real. It's just it's made up. It's man's imaginations, and it has nothing to do with reality. And so why bother to go to believe something that is just not even true? And so Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So a Jesus that isn't the truth is a fake Jesus, another Jesus. Now, the gospel, fake gospel. Take your Bibles and turn to, we'll start in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and we'll start in verse 13. Verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." All right, I'm going to add another one. Apostles, fake apostles. How do we know? How did the church, after the crucifixion of Christ, how is it that it got to us? It really came through the apostles. Jesus chose them, and they are the ones that spread it out. And especially Paul. Because, as we found out last week, he went to the Gentiles, and most of us are Gentiles. So if Paul hadn't been faithful, we might not even know the truth. We might have a fake a gospel and a fake from a fake apostle. So if you have a fake Jesus, a fake gospel, or a fake spirit, you're going to have just a complete train wreck, and it's just marching people into hell. Because they're not believing the truth. Hell is the truth. And what you believe, and this is why doctrine is so... I mean, Paul goes into how important good doctrine is, sound doctrine. And what we've got today in America is such awful, unsound doctrine. And that's what... Is it any wonder we're in the mess we're in? So, verse 15, I want to point something out. It says, "It's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." In other words, they'll say they're the righteous ones. "But their end shall be according to their works." Now, according to their works, we have what's called a works doctrine. And that is not the true That's not the true doctrine that the apostles taught. And so we're gonna deal with that today. Turn over to Galatians. All right, so Galatians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I have yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would just work on our hearts today, that we would understand what you have said and not just read the words, but Lord, take it into our hearts and into our lives. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name. All right. He's talking about another gospel here, which he talked about in the Corinthian church. I'm looking at this book, and as I'm reading the entire thing, I'm seeing in Paul an anger against these people. I'm seeing frustration at them. I'm seeing that this is 9-1-1. I want you to take a look at verse 2. And it says, all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches, plural, of Galatia. Now, Galatia is not a city. It's a Roman province. And it's kind of north. So the people that were there would not be primarily Jews. They would be primarily, like, what we would say, maybe Europeans. They would be Gentiles. This is a very Gentile church. So the fact that that all these churches in this area are messed up, he doesn't have time to write each one of these churches. He has to send it out shotgun to all of them, and have them go one to the other. And there is not a warmth here. Let's compare to Romans. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. And you can do this with all of his letters. You look at the way he, you know, his opening and how he announces. He always says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And then called to be an apostle. He does that in just about every letter. And then the verse 3 where it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that on every single letter. That's almost like a letterhead. So, but then he goes through this, and in verse 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father in Romans and the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he goes in and he says in verse 8, I thank my God for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So he's giving them a compliment. Right, he's saying that you're doing a good job. For God is my witness, whom I serve with the Spirit of God, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So I'm praying for you. Verse 10, I want to come see you, but And then it just goes on and on. So he's saying all this really nice stuff. I want to come see you. You're doing a good job. All this kind of thing. There's none of that in Galatians. Every other letter, he has some kind of something to say good about them. There's nothing good here. He just, once he gets into the top of it, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. In other words, if this is 911, we don't have time to talk about what you're doing, what you think you're doing, all that. It's like you're on life support. And so I'm not going to waste time with that kind of stuff and say you're doing a good job, or I can't wait to see you, or I really love you. None of that. So this is a letter that is very timely, and they had better start listening. You know, he wrote a severe letter to the church at Corinth, and they finally listened. This one is probably not as bad, but it really is, I think, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, because he has presented them the true gospel, and yet they're believing a fake gospel, as we'll see. So another gospel, it's saying, we don't believe what you told us. And it's calling him a liar. It's really calling the Lord Jesus a liar. So it's not another, but there is no other gospel. There is no other gospel than what he's preached. And he has to make not only, it doesn't say Judaizers, but that's what it is. Look at the end. chapter 6 and verse 12. Here's what he says. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution from the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And throughout the whole book here, that's the theme. That's the theme, the circumcision that they're requiring and the law and all that kind of thing. And so these are the people that are trying to drag them back under the law. And so we need to listen to this, because the most popular church in America, or the most attended church, or the most whatever, is the Roman Catholic Church. And they are the ones who are perverting the gospel, as we'll find out. And it's the same thing. They're doing the same thing, dragging us back under the law. You have to do these works. So there's a bigger issue than just circumcision in this. You don't want to just say, okay, this Galatians, it's about circumcision. It's about stuff that doesn't apply to us. No. It's about works. Because what they're saying is you have to do these things and then you'll be saved. And throughout, I'm just amazed at how many verses there are about it is not by works. It is not by works. It is not by works. You are saved by grace through faith. So, in verse 8, or verse 7, he says, not another gospel that trouble you. There will be some that trouble you. Again, these are the people coming in. Now, he's not condemning the fact that these people came in, but what he's condemning is the fact that the Galatians received them and said, oh, good. Now we understand. Because what they were saying, probably, and I'm putting words in their mouth, but they're saying, oh, well, Paul was pretty good, but he didn't tell you everything. So like the charismatics, you know, well, you as far as you went, but you didn't go into baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you have to do that, and you have to speak in tongues, and you have to do all this other stuff, and then you'll have God's favor. No, that's not the gospel. That's a fake gospel. So, one thing I'll also add to this is kainos, Christians in name only. This is what that produces. And boy, have we got that in spades. I mean, these are people who say, yes, I'm a Christian. You can go talk to them. Yeah, they'll say they're a Christian, but they have no idea. They have no idea. They don't know the truth. And so they're really liars. Their end is going to be something they didn't expect, because they believe that they're telling the truth. Anyway, he says there are some that pervert that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know what he's? That's a strong word, pervert. We call somebody that's a sexual deviant a pervert. So he's calling them a pervert. And you know what he says? He says, let them be cursed. He doesn't say, oh, let them be blessed of God. They're trying their best. They're doing... No, no. He says, let them experience the wrath of God. That's what he's saying. The Greek word, I think, is anathema. And it's used, I think, in... It is used in the King James, but in this case, it's a curse. But that's what it means. It means there's a curse on you. God's curse is on you. He's not going to bless you. And who wants that? So the gospel that we preach needs to be, and we need to make sure that we're not preaching a false, fake gospel. And people are not believing a fake gospel. And in America, oh man, there's this God loves everybody gospel. There's name it and claim it, and I mean just every kind of perversion under the sun. And that's what he calls it. He calls them perverts. That's really strong. And then he says, but we or an angel from heaven. Preach any other. I don't think he's saying, oh, there's angels coming down preaching this. No, he is so frustrated with them. He's saying, if it's us, if it's anybody, it doesn't matter who, even though that doesn't happen. He's so angry that they would accept this. And so, let him be accursed. And then in verse 9, there's probably steam coming out of his ears because he says it again. I told you, we taught you the real gospel, and yet here's these people coming in on television or in some tent meeting or something, and they tell you something else, and you're, oh yes, I believe that. And so he says it again. So I say now again, why do I have to say it again? Because you're so stupid, if I don't say it again, you're just going to walk away and think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's all right. So he says again, if any man preach under any other gospel than that you have received, he says it again, let him be accursed. And that's not something we need to pass by. That is a very serious, serious thing. That's why when we talk about the gospel or we preach the gospel or we tell somebody the gospel, you know, we need to make sure, because that would apply to us too. If we're telling somebody a false gospel, a fake gospel, a gospel that Paul never preached, then We're to be accursed. We're to be accursed. And then in verse 10, I love this. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In our world, and I've seen this absolutely everywhere, especially in the military, you get people that, you know, they're recruited in, they're, you know, real low rank, but they want to be a general, and they want to get promoted real quick. So they're going to do everything they can. I remember in tech school, you didn't, you know, you got out of basic training and then went to whatever tech school you were going to. But there were people that on Saturday morning, okay, that's our only day off, and they would be practicing marching and just on their own. You know, it's not organized. They're doing it because they want to impress some, you know, master sergeant or something. They want the applause of men, and they want the applause of whoever's higher. That happens in the corporate world. Oh, whatever, you know. Oh, you like this gay pride nonsense? Okay, so I'll get on board with that. Whatever it is, and we can see it. We can see it. The latest one to fall, I think, is Cracker Barrel. They've gone woke too. But they're all because the government says, and the government has lots of money, okay, I'm going to follow you. They're trying to please men. Now, as Christians, we're not here to please men. And in fact, you might as well get used to it. You're not going to please them. You're going to be hated of men, in fact. So you might as well get used to it. It's you know, being in church is a much different experience than being out there, because they don't want to hear it. So we got a choice. We can either not say anything. We can just, you know, live with them, do what they do, or we can do what God asks us to do, and that's to preach the true gospel. That's something that I think we need to understand, that the gospel call, the Great Commission, is not the great suggestion. We are commanded to do it, and to not do it is to be AWOL. All right, so just that introduction is enough to wake them up. But then, you know, what they're saying is that, well, Paul is not really an apostle. He's one of these guys that's an apostle wannabe. And so he's trying to act like an apostle. He tells you he's an apostle. And by the way, we got apostles today that claim to be apostles. We know they're not, because they haven't seen Jesus Christ. So that office is no longer available. But what they're saying is that, no, you're not. And so, starting in verse 11, Paul has to defend his apostleship against what these people are telling them. So in verse 11, he certifies to you that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So remember in Corinthians, he talked about the imaginations of men. All these imaginations, all these, oh, I just thought this up. Here, let me write this down. And they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous, but here's what happens. You get this ridiculous thing, and then oh, I believe it. Oh, I believe it. Oh, I believe it. And then some guy high up believes it, and you get all the people below them saying, oh, well, I want to be rich like they are, so I'll believe it too. And that's the snowball keeps rolling. And because everybody else believes it, that's why I'm going to believe it. And the authority of the Word of God just gets cut in half. But I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, verse 12, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past with the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it. All right. When it talks about his conversation, it's talking about his lifestyle. It's not talking about talking to somebody. And what's funny to me is in time past in the Jews' religion. Now, he's a Jew. But you know what he's saying? Their religion is not Christianity. It's not what Jesus... It's fake. And their fakeness says you have to be circumcised. You have to eat certain things. You have to do this. You have to do that. And so that's what they're trying to drag back into Christ's church. And this is the whole purpose of this letter is to stop this. He says that it profited the Jews in verse 14, profited in the Jews' religion. Which again, he's separating himself, even though he's a Jew, he's separating himself because I don't believe that nonsense. I don't believe that anymore. And so he's calling them the Jews' religion. We could say the Pope's religion, or we could say Joseph Smith's religion, or we could say, you know, whatever. So that's kind of what it's saying is that it's not what I believe, and it's not what I'm preaching. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that in verse 17 he didn't go up to Jerusalem. When he says, oh, okay, God called me to be an apostle, okay, now I need to go spend time with the apostles to see what apostling is like. I need to be like them. I need to do what they do because I don't know what they do. That, he says, no, that's not what happened. He said, I went into Arabia. I went into the desert and then returned unto Damascus. And then after 3 years, so it's 3 years. He's been an apostle for 3 years and he spent time with God, not with men. And that's a problem we have is that we tend to want to be like, for example, Billy Graham. There are people that, oh, Billy Graham's so great, and I want to be just like him. Or, and I went to Dallas Seminary, Chuck Swindoll. He was the president, and everybody wanted to preach like Chuck Swindoll. Their mannerisms, everything. They were trying to emulate him. That's not because they want to have the notoriety, and they want to have all the stuff that goes along with that. But they're not really. It's not really called. See, when you're born again, you're called to be who He created you to be, and to preach His word and His gospel and all of these things. Believe the true Jesus. And have the real spirit. So, so what he's saying is, it wasn't me that was just trying to be like these apostles. And in fact, in chapter 2, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Not only was he not trying to to impress the apostles so they'd give him a good recommendation or whatever. No, he said, you're wrong. And what was he wrong about? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So the Jews come around. Okay, he would eat with the Gentiles. He would be seen eating with the Gentiles. Okay, now the Jews come around, all the muckety-mucks and all the people that have power. And, oh, Peter says, oh, I'm not going to. You know, where's this Peter that's, oh, let me walk on the water first. No, this is the Peter that's outside being charged, being challenged by a woman saying, aren't you one of them? And he's, oh, no. So he's not all that much of a leader. I mean, he's a man. He's a man, and all his warts are right here. And Paul, who's Peter's been an apostle for a lot longer, but Paul says, you're wrong. You need to repent on this. And he was right. And to his credit, Peter did. Verse 16. I think is worth memorizing, and because Paul is confirming his authority or convincing them of his authority. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, how much more do we need? How much clearer can it be? I know that's, everybody says that, but really, it's not by works. It's not by works. And being circumcised is a work. Being baptized, that's a work. Giving money, that's a work. That's not what we're saying. And I'm not saying that works don't have their place. It's sort of like if you're wanting to hammer in a nail, a screwdriver doesn't really help. But you want to use the right tool. A hammer isn't very good if you've got a screw. So when it comes to being justified, works is not the right tool. It's grace through faith, and that's what he says in this passage. He says it's by faith, and that we might be justified, not by the works of the law. How many times do you have to say it over and over and over? And yet there's people that come in and say, no, you have to be baptized. You have to do this. You have to, you know, run 5 miles. You have to do all this stuff that we say, and that's not the true gospel. So there is a real curse for those that do that, and you kind of, after you really kind of have to feel sorry for them, but in a sense you don't. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Another one of Paul's letters. And verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then we've got Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. There's enough verses here to put an end to this. But unfortunately, we don't believe the Bible. We're not getting our doctrine from the Bible. We're getting our doctrine from other man's imaginations. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I can just open it. And let's see. Most of them, St. Leo the Great sermon, this is what they make a statement. They will use not scripture, they will use their own writings and their own man's imaginations that are not inspired by God. And so they don't care that it contradicts the scriptures, what God has said. And so, in fact, that's okay. That's okay in their minds. Because they put their writings, they put their pope, they put their whatever equivalent to scripture, and in many cases, in the case of Mormons, they put their writings higher than scripture, and it preempts scripture. And so this is the problem in America we've got, and really the solution is we've got to be louder on the real gospel. We have got to challenge and not worry about whether somebody likes you or not. I know when you're talking to someone, you know, nobody wants to not be liked, but you know, you might just well get used to it because they're not going to like you. It's like you said, giving somebody a track and they just explode on you. Well, all right. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, but that's the world we live in. Now, I do want to kind of go look at the real gospel in the time we have left. So go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis and chapter 2. We know this, but it's always good to look at it. 2 verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, as we all know, he did eat of it. And yet, he's still walking around. He's wearing, you know, animal skins. He's having children. He's building houses. He's eating dinner, whatever. How come he didn't die? Well, what man does is man thinks in his heart that we are God and we know everything. Science, science, science. That's what it is. But God tells us in Thessalonians that we are spirit, soul, and body, not just body. So the medical world out here says, oh, we're the answer to everything. We're the answer to life. We give life. No, you don't. You don't give life. It is God who gives life. But anyway, when it says surely die, it's talking about dying spiritually. And that affects, because we're spirit, soul, and body, they're tied together. And because the spirit is dead, that affects the body. The body dies also. But all of us are are born spiritually dead. So in order to be made spiritually alive, here's Nicodemus saying, oh, I need to be born again. I need to go back through the birth canal. And I need, what? No. He doesn't understand really that what we die, our problem is we are dead spiritually. And so mothers cannot give spiritual life. The way of spiritual life has nothing to do with the natural birth. Natural birth can't do it. It is through grace, and it's by faith. And that is the prescribed way that we become spiritually alive. And anything else is fake. Anything else is not real. So Nicodemus thinks that when we're talking about born again, we're talking about physically. There is a denomination that says, okay, in fact, let's turn there. It's John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It's Catholicism, in case you didn't know. They use John 3:5 to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So what they'll say is that in order to enter into this kingdom of God, you must be baptized. And they say that. They say that baptism is necessary for salvation. But look at that verse. Do you see the word baptism in there anywhere? It's not there. They took their imagination and put it in there. And now it's saying, oh, well, water, yeah, baptism, yeah. Well, I wash my clothes with water. Does that mean that I should wash my clothes to be born again? See, water and baptism are two different words. But they pushed this out, and this is the only support they have for that. And then they write their own stuff to support it. So there's so many people. The number one religion in America is Catholicism. That's number one. I got number two is Southern Baptist, number three, well, the Not-So-United Methodist, four is Mormon, five is Church of God in Christ, six is National Baptist, seven Lutheran, eight is National Baptist Convention of America, nine is PCUSA, which is a horrible debacle, 10 is Assembly of God. And so I could take each one of those and go through their gospel and what they believe and show that it is not the gospel and it is not the doctrine that the apostles taught. I believe what he's talking about when he says born of water, he's talking about physical, I don't know what you call it, there's like a membrane that's filled with liquid, that's what he's talking about. So he's talking about, yeah, you are born, because Nicodemus is talking about the physical birth. So he is addressing that and saying, yeah, you got to be physically born, but of the Spirit, you have to be born of the Spirit. So, and then he goes on to say that flesh is flesh. So that means he's talking about a fleshly birth and then a spiritual birth. So what I'm saying, I think, is that we've got to be more listening for error, because there are fake gospels just everywhere. And you really have to be very careful. You really have to parse words and find out what are they really saying. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for sending your son to die for us and giving us the gospel that that you have entrusted to us. And Father, I pray we might be faithful with that, and we might give this world might see the light that that they need to see. We just thank you again. We pray for this service to come, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.